All right, we're all here. Everybody got a chair to sit. Good, good, good. Well, been a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, God bless you all. Welcome to our house. Welcome to our Bible fellowship here in our home. Welcome to all of you here in the house, and also all the folks on the phone line this morning. So, you guys want to give them a greeting? Oh, wonderful. God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. For those of you on the phone, some things will sound a little different, especially when we start doing singing together, but when we get to the teaching, it'll be very clear. You'll be able to hear that, as well as the prayer and manifestations. You should be able to hear that as well. And Dave Bailey's going to lead us in some songs. So, okay. Dave, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Today is Sunday, April the 25th, 2021. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19. So, the Bible, we refer to it many times as God's Word. And the reason we call it God's Word is because God is the author. There were many writers, as you know, of the Bible. Many people who wrote the scriptures, but the Bible tells us that they wrote what God told them to write. So many writers, but only one author. And so that's why we refer to this book as God's Word. And we're going to look at something this morning where God, because it's his word, even though David wrote this psalm, he still wrote what God told him to write. So we're going to read this morning some things that God wants to communicate to us about his word. And it's just a really wonderful, wonderful psalm. And this psalm will first show us the magnificent word of God that's written in the heavens. And then the second part of this psalm will show us God's magnificent word that's written in the scriptures. There was a really wonderful preacher in the 1800s. You probably heard of him, Spurgeon. And he said this, "He is wisest who reads both the world book, God's creation, and the word book as two volumes of the same work, and feels concerning them, my father wrote them both." So we begin in Psalm 19, verse 1. I think we'll just read the whole psalm, and then we'll come back and look at the verses. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So back in verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens, what we look up, it declares the glory of God. So the heavens, that's all you can see. Declare means to, you know, rehearse, and it is implying repetition. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Total expanse shows his handiwork. We ought to remember that from Adam to Moses was about 2,500 years. There was no written word of God during that time. A lot of writers of the Bible, one author, and the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, was written by Moses. Right. Adam to Moses, 2,500 years, no written scriptures. So how were people to know? The heavens declare the glory of God? The firmament shows his handiwork? We'll come back here, but take a look at Romans chapter 1. We get some insight here to this in Romans chapter 1. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How were people to know his plans, know his purposes, know his counsels? Look at chapter 10 of Romans. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end unto the ends of the world. What words? What teachings? How could they hear? Well, back in Psalm 19, if you kept your place there, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And I know some people read this verse and think that, you know, the heavens, you know, just shows just God's great beauty. And it is. It's magnificent beauty. It is so far beyond our brains, the magnificence of what is up in the universe and the galaxies and the precisions and all of that. And that's true. But remember what God said about the lights and the firmament? If you wanted to, we're going to come right back to Psalm 19 here. But in the very first verse, first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis 1:14, it said, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them, these lights, be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Signs refers to things or someone to come. Seasons refer to appointed times. And you know, many times, go back to Psalm 19, many times we refer to it as saying God's word was written in the stars, and it really was. So, verse 1 again, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. Day unto day, meaning day after day, it utters speech. Night unto night, it shows knowledge. Knowledge is information. It means night after night. So day unto day, it's showing, if you know what to look for. Right? Now, look at verse 3. It says, there is no speech nor language. Speech and language is on earth. That's how we communicate, with speech, with language. There's different languages. And leave out the word where. It's in italics. There is no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. It's not words we hear from the heavens, but rather God just shows us. His communication is on display. As we say, written in the stars. The heavenly bodies and their movement, a universal witness to the glory of God that could be obvious for people of any language. Remember, we saw in Romans the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If you look at Psalm 147, in Psalm 147, verse 4, talking about God, he tells the number of the stars. How many stars are there? Well, for most scientists, we don't know. God knows. God knows exactly how many stars there are. In fact, he calls them all by their names. God has named every, he's the creator. He's the one that put it all together. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That's God Almighty. And the heavens declare the glory of God. If you would look at Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah 45, and in verse 12, I have made the earth, God says. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. God is the one that created it and put all of that together. And the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork day into day. It utters speech if we know what we're looking at, right? I mean, and again, before there was anything written, God's word was written in the stars. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So now, this is kind of cool if you think about God's word written in the stars by the breath of his mouth. In other words, he spoke it into being. The scriptures, the written word of God, it says in Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or all scripture is God-breathed. God spoke his word, told them what to write. God spoke his word, his great majesty, his great glory. He spoke it into the heavens, and God spoke to men and told them what to write. Let's go back to Psalm 19. This is just a beautiful psalm that really puts on display for you and I the magnificent Word of God. So, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork, day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language, their voice is not heard. Then it goes on to say, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle, or a house, if you like, for the sun, which is as a bridegroom. He's referring to the sun like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. The way God is describing the sunrise. Like a bridegroom coming out. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Astronomy is the true science of the study of the heavens. On the other hand, astrology is the counterfeit to the true science of the study of the stars. And we don't have time this morning, but there is definitely some very clear scriptures concerning staying away from the astrology part. God's very clear to stay away from that. You know, the sun worshipers, the moon worshipers, it's that place, I think it's in Isaiah, the monthly prognosticators, you know. God says stay away from that stuff. But astronomy is the true study of the stars, the heavens. And the sun, if you study astronomy, will be housed, if you will, over different times in different houses, different signs. If you're interested in this, there's something you could look up. It's called precession of the equinoxes. Not procession, but precession of the equinoxes. It's fascinating. You know, the more you look at what God put up there, it's just, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. There's some interesting references to the zodiacs, the stars and constellations that you can read about in the book of Job. And don't you remember that it was because of information that they got from studying the heavens that the wise men made that long journey to Jerusalem, because that's how they knew a king would be born. They were still reading God's word that was written in the stars. Isn't that amazing? So that's the first part of this psalm, God's magnificent word in the heavens. And now the second half is God's magnificent word written down. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And all of these, you'll notice as we go through, are of the Lord. And God in his word many times describes his word using different words. And we'll see a number of them here as we look. Law, testimony, statutes, commandments, precepts. God uses different words to talk about his word. Law simply means instruction or direction. Testimony is, well, we know what a testimony is, right? That's something that is testified. It's something that's revealed. Verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord. Statutes are things that are properly appointed or mandated. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments, or the commandment, well, we know what a commandment is. It's a command. Commandment of the Lord is pure. And in verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Fear, when we read it in the Bible, can either mean to be afraid, or it can mean awe or great reverence. So when it says fear the Lord, God doesn't want us to run and hide from him. Fear the Lord means to have awe or reverence for the Lord. But here in Psalm 19, the context that we're reading is all about God's word, God's word. And so here in Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is the awe and reverence and majesty of his written word, which is clean, enduring forever. And then in verse 9 also, the judgments. Judgments, that's like a legal term, a judicial judgment. You know, something that is legally firm. All six of these are of the Lord. And so we'll go back to verse 7, because God describing what he communicates. The law of the Lord, or God's word, is what?
Perfect.
Perfect. When it's rightly understood, the word of God is perfect. And it says the testimony of the Lord, or God's word, is sure. Absolutely sure, certain, faithful. The statutes of the Lord, or God's word, is right. Therefore, if I understand what's written here, I'm understanding something that is right, not wrong. The commandments, commandment of the Lord, God's word, is pure. So there it is, pure. There's a verse that said the words of the Lord are as pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth seven times. You know, in metals where they, you know, they keep heating them up to get them pure, get all the impurities out of them. Seven times as pure as silver that's been put in a oven seven times. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. My goodness. That's pretty reliable, isn't it? And then God also tells us the benefit to us of his word. Back in verse 7, the law of the Lord, or God's word, is perfect, converting the soul. Converting is restoring. God's word can bring someone back who has turned away, restoring the soul. And then it says, the testimony of the Lord, or God's word, is sure, making wise the simple. Simple means basically someone that's teachable. Okay? I would say it's the opposite would be, I know everything. There's nothing you can share with me that I don't know. You know, I've got it all figured out. Someone who's simple can be persuaded. When it comes to God's word, we should be simple. We should be coachable, teachable. When it comes to the world, we may not want to be simple. You know, it talks in Ephesians about we don't want to be blown about with every wind of doctrine, something else. Oh, I think, oh, that's good. Oh, this, oh, I'll do. When it comes to God's word, we want to be teachable, coachable, persuaded from God's word. So, God's word, the law of the Lord, it's perfect and it restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord, God's word, is sure, making wise the simple. Who wouldn't want to be wise? You ever run into somebody that said, I really want to be stupid. I don't want to know anything. I want to be ignorant. I'd love to be dumb. Who wouldn't want to be wise? And yet God's word says that it will make the simple wise. You may remember that verse in Timothy where it says it's the scriptures that makes one wise unto salvation. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord, God's word, are right, rejoicing the heart. My goodness, rejoicing the heart. There's a lot of people that are sad, discouraged, feel horrible about whatever, have no joy. Guess what I'm trying to say? And yet, God's word can give someone joy in their heart, true joy. Even in the midst of difficult times, joy. The prophet Jeremiah said, thy words were found. God's words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It's God's word that can give a person joy. See, if we would just take the time to get into God's word, look at it, understand it, it brings us great joy. Wow. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, God's word, it's pure. It enlightens the eyes. Enlightening the eyes. That means that it makes things clear to us. Not cloudy, not dark, clear. We can see. If there's no lights on in the house, if it's pitch dark, do you ever run? No, you're going to go, even if you're familiar, I think the couch is over here. I think, you know, ever had a power outage? We have these here in Arizona whenever there's a rainstorm sometimes. But if it's at night, it's like, boom, it's totally dark. Then you better be remembering where the chairs are at and where your flashlight's at. The word of God enlightens our eyes so we don't have to go through life stumbling in the dark. We can see what's going on and understand it. The fear of the Lord, verse 9, is clean, enduring forever, and God's word endures forever, and it helps us to endure. It gives us the endurance that we need. The judgments of the Lord, God's word, are true and righteous altogether. What a word of God, right? Look at the great benefits to us of understanding God's word. No wonder verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold. Oh, not just gold. How about much fine gold? That'd be like pure gold. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God's words are not simply like much gold. No, they're more to be desired than much fine gold. And verse 11 says, moreover, by them, and see, we're still talking about God's word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, or that's another word that means enlightened or taught or admonished. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And look at this, in keeping of them, there is great reward. This is what God says about his wonderful word. And then we read this before the end of this psalm as David wrote, who can understand his errors? David's so human, right? Don't you love some of the things that he says by revelation? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a magnificent presentation by God about his word, his magnificent word. And see, this is why we're so inspired to read it on a regular basis. Why wouldn't we? Words that are true, words that are right, words that endure, words that bring joy to us, words that enlighten us. Why wouldn't we want to read it and understand it on a regular basis? Why would we not? This is why we're inspired to read it. This is why we're inspired to study it. This is why we're inspired to apply it in our lives. What did he say back in verse 11? In keeping of them, there is great reward. Great reward. So God's word, the truth, it restores the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. It endures forever. God's word is more to be desired than much fine gold and is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And for those who keep God's word, he promises us great reward. Wow, how valuable God's word is to us. No wonder we like the Bible. You know, that's really the reason we get together, you know, to, yeah, it's great to see each other, especially after a long time. But, you know, our main focus is this book, the Bible, the words of God, to give us spiritual nurture and growth, to get, you know, hopefully in these fellowships, all of us, myself included, can gain a little more understanding so that we can understand a little more of God's word and believe God's word, trust him. Are these words not trustworthy that we just read, that God's saying, look, this is what my word's all about? How trustworthy? Is it reliable from what we just read? Yeah. Is it more reliable than maybe watching the news? Oh, yeah. Some of those words aren't clean, pure. Sometimes you watch the news and it's like, what am I seeing? You know, it's these words. When's the last time you watched a newscast or heard a newscast and it was the joy and rejoicing of your heart and you were just so pumped up full of joy? I'm so blessed. No, usually it's I'm so fill in the blank. And so I'm not saying don't ever watch the news or whatever. Yeah, we know things are going on. But boy, to get our heads into this book, God almost pleading with us. Can you imagine? This is God's word. It's the Bible. God wrote it. He told men what to write. And God is so kind to take the time out to say, I mean, he shouldn't have to do this. It's like, yes, this is God's word. God so lovingly took the time to spell out how profitable, how valuable his word is, you know, in this wonderful psalm. And this isn't the only place. There's other places in God's word where he talks about his word. How about like Psalm 119? You know, if we had more time, we'd just go through all of Psalm 119. Of course, we'd be here till, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock. But almost every single verse in that psalm talks about God's word. You know, and then it uses those words like his word, judgments, commandments, precepts, statutes. It's all about God's word. In Timothy, look at Timothy for a minute. 2 Timothy. Just want to look at a couple more verses. 2 Timothy. I thought this might be a blessing for all of us, our first time back together, to just look at how great God's word is, because that's why we're together, right? That's why we come together, to fellowship around his word, to fellowship with one another, and to bless and encourage one another, you know, while we're here, to minister to one another, you know, to love on one another. That's the gathering of the saints. But this is familiar. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, all of it, Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's that one Greek word, theopneustos, means God breathed. All scripture, God breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, right teaching. Then it's also profitable for reproof, which means if we're kind of missing the mark, God's word will go, you're off there a little bit. Get back in your lane. Okay. And correction, which, you know, reproof tells us where we're off. Correction gets us back in the lane. For instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, throughly furnished or perfected unto all good works. That's really a wonderful verse for us, that God's word's profitable. It's profitable. It's not a duty. I'm a Christian. I have to read the Bible, you know, because that's my duty as a Christian. You know, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through so I can say I read it. Back up to chapter... Go to Hebrews, and then we'll close in chapter 2. But Hebrews chapter 4. There's a number of places where God tells us about his word. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick, meaning it's living, it's alive, it's a living and real word. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. How sharp? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it's also a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word's that sharp. That sharp. And as a great Bible teacher once said, this book, the Bible, is not an aid to devotion. This is what I use so I'm holy. This word of God is life, and it's living to us. And that's why we so love God's word. That's why we read it. That's why we study it. And we're going to close in 2 Timothy 2. How blessed we are to know a little bit of God's word. How privileged we are. And, you know, several people prayed this morning for... you know, for our brothers and sisters in other countries where it's not easy to do this, what we're doing. Not easy to do even by way of phone. I forget where it was. I heard in China they were cracking down on them doing Zoom fellowships. You know, the video Zoom, the Christians doing Zoom fellowships. And yet we have the freedom in our country where we can just, you know, come over to somebody's house or, you know, call up another believer friend, go to their house, sit and chat, talk about the word. We have such great freedom to do that. Bible's readily accessible to us in all different sizes and shapes and versions. And then we can have them on our device as well. We're so blessed. It's so accessible to us. It's so easy for us to, you know, have access to God's word. It's just right there. And so, what a great privilege that is. And we should be thankful for that. And we're closing in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That rightly dividing, that straight right cutting, so that we get right understanding. And once we have right understanding of the scriptures, whether it's one verse, five verses, whenever we have right understanding of the scriptures, then that's pure. That's right altogether. That's clean. You know, all those things that we read in Psalm 19. But see, it's up to each person individually whether they'll make the time to read the scriptures, whether they'll make the time to study God's word, to understand it and believe his words, and get the benefits in their life. God wants us to have the benefits. He wants us to be blessed. He wants our hearts to rejoice. So God's word is truly magnificent. And so when you read it, whether, you know, you read it on your device or paper, just pause when you stop to read it next time and go, this is God's magnificent word. This is God's word. And since God is our Father, we're born again ones, God is our Father. When we read this book, it's Father talking to us. These are the words from our Father. So my dad used to say sometimes, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? He'd say it like about three times. Yes, yes. Meaning he wanted us to shut up and listen. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? Now listen. Okay, listen. Well, when we open this book, our Father's speaking to us. He's not beating us over the head saying, are you listening? But it's a good idea if we do listen. How's that? Father God, thanks for your wonderful love for each one of us. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word, where we could know who you are, that we could know what you have done, what you've promised you will do. Thank you, Father, that in the pages of your book we can read of your great plan of salvation and redemption and see the completed work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that that has made available for each one of us. Thank you for the privilege of being here together this morning with your wonderful people. And I thank you, God, for your love for each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks for being here this morning. We're going to be back here next Sunday here in this house and also on the phone hookup. So have a great week ahead, and God bless you. You are the best.